This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Today and tomorrow, University of Michigan faculty and staff are gathering on campus to protest, in a physically distant manner, the way that the university is handling the resumption of classes this fall. University President Mark Schlissel has said that he is pursuing a public health-informed process that will involve some in-person learning and some online learning, informed by the best decisions that public health officials can make. Staff, faculty, and some students have expressed some issues with the university's decision to open. There's an increasing body of evidence around the country that colleges and universities are having problems with in-person instruction. Kentaro Toyama is a professor of community information at University of Michigan School of Information, and he's one of the people who's been organizing faculty protests at U of M. Kentaro Toyama, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, April. Good to be here.
How are you feeling in this moment about fall semester restarting, at least in part, in person?
For myself, I'm reasonably comfortable. I think I'm healthy, and even if I were to contract coronavirus, that I would probably survive it. But I'm concerned that the current university policies around what staff and faculty need to do are coercive for a small fraction of our employees.
In what sense?
So far, the central administration at the university has issued a policy by which units are encouraged to accommodate faculty and staff who might not want to teach in person or have in-person interaction with students, but they have not made it a university-wide policy. And what that really means is that there are, in fact, some units where they are requiring either faculty or staff to teach in person, even though they may not want to. They might be in a vulnerable state. We have made several requests to the administration to change this policy, and they have refused, which again suggests that there are, in fact, such cases.
So yesterday, President Schlissel sent out a letter that outlined several different things. Among them, there were provisions for testing and the capacity for test processing, a little bit more about the self-screening that everyone coming to the university will be expected to do. He also indicated that 70% of credit hours for undergraduates would be taken fully remotely. I mean, on the surface, that might lead people to believe that classes are perhaps 70% smaller than they usually are. Could you maybe break down what that means when we say that 70% of credit hours will be remotely and the impact that that might have on in-person instruction?
That's a good question. And to be honest, I don't really know how the administration is counting it. I suspect that it's actually 70% of classes are fully online and remotely held with nobody in an in-person capacity. You know, the real question is why the university feels this 30% is essential to have some kind of in-person component. And I believe that's because that's a credible level at which the university can claim it is open for in-person instruction, which would allow it to charge full tuition to students, even though 70% of their classes may not, in fact, be in person.
So the university has outlined that it's going to enforce physical distancing for those classes that are held in person. Are you and the other folks involved in the group not confident that that's an adequate safeguard, even with PPE?
I think that's a good question. I would say faculty opinions differ on this. I think there are some faculty who are worried that even with the social distancing, some of our buildings are very old and don't have the ventilation that they could. You know, even socially distanced, wearing masks, you're in a small enclosed space. You know, I heard an interesting analogy that, you know, if you were in a room with people and everybody were flatulent, would you be okay with that? If not, then you probably should be worried about virus transmission. I think that others are concerned about enforcement. So if you are an individual faculty member and somebody in your class is refusing to wear a mask, it currently is really up to you to deal with that student. And we know that this is a particularly polarizing issue politically. You know, we don't want these things to lead to belligerent outcomes. So many faculty are afraid that they are being the frontline enforcers for these rules and policies that the university is putting in place.
When you say that you have concerns about people being coerced to teach in person, who specifically might be at a disadvantage? Are we talking about faculty? Are we talking about associate or adjunct professors?
That's a great question. The policy does not specify this, and from what I have heard, there is at least one engineering faculty member who is being asked to teach an in-person course despite having a compromised health situation. And there appear to be some lecturers who are now being asked to take on the work of in-person instruction that tenure-track faculty have refused to do. The lecturers, of course, are in a far more vulnerable position in terms of their occupation, and so we're also very much concerned about them.
What avenues exactly exist for someone to appeal if they have asked not to teach in person and have been rejected?
You know, the university will say, well, there's all the formal channels of appeal that might include talking to your dean and then asking your dean to speak to the provost and so on. Lecturers have a lecturer union on campus. Graduate students have a graduate union. Staff have no union and really have very little recourse other than the formal channels. Faculty have no union and certainly can push information up. But from what we've seen, when there have been a number of petitions circulating from staff, from students, from faculty, multiple, each with hundreds if not thousands of signatures, and we have sent them all up, and the response so far has been pretty much the same line that they have given us from the beginning.
President Schlissel wrote in his letter yesterday that there is no way forward through the academic year without risk and without mitigation. It sounded like he was trying to say that there aren't a lot of good choices right now. Do you believe that's true?
I think it's definitely true that this is a difficult situation and there aren't perfect choices. But I think without a doubt that there are safer choices. And what we've seen in the last couple of days is that universities like the University of North Carolina, Notre Dame, and our own peer university, Michigan State University, have made decisions to place safety and health above most of the other concerns, which we believe are ultimately financial in nature, and even then ones that a large, well-endowed university like Michigan could easily handle.
Well, what exactly would you like to see at this point? Would an all-online start to the year seem appropriate?
Again, I would say faculty views on that differ. Personally, you know, I think we're a little bit committed to this situation, and I would say it would be a terrible thing for all these students who've been told that they're going to have an in-person semester that we pull everything back. I think, however, that all of the health-related protocols could be buttressed significantly. Our testing plans, you know, really when President Schlissel talks about our testing plans, he sounds more like, well, our testing plans aren't great, but it's the best we can do. But if we knew that in advance, then I don't think we should have reopened at all back in June when we announced a reopening.
You know, your field is concerned with information and technology and social change. You, of all people, are very familiar with how the spread of information at the macro level can change people's lives. Is it realistic for the university to draft a plan that can really cover the basis for most students and faculty at a time when life is, to say the least, complicated and difficult, if not outright dangerous?
Absolutely. And again, I'll just point to these other universities that have made decisions to close campus for in-person instruction because, you know, as we saw in North Carolina, after a week of having students on campus, infection rates shot up dramatically. You know, I'm personally a great fan of in-person instruction. Personally, I have told my dean that I'm willing to teach in person if that's really what's required. But I think that the risk to the health of, you know, many of our other faculty, lecturers and staff, graduate students is not worth the coercion. I think, you know, many of us are willing to do it. Why not take what we are willing to do and work with that rather than forcing, you know, the most vulnerable to teach in person?
Do you feel ready for the onset of online classes this fall?
All of us who are here in an instructional capacity or advisory capacity for students, you know, we are committed to the mission. Personally, I have, you know, spent a lot of time this summer trying to adjust my courses so that they can fulfill this very complex situation of what's called a hybrid model of teaching in which we have to satisfy both online students, but also students who want in-person interaction, synchronous teaching as well as asynchronous teaching for students who might be on the other side of the world. And so we are the ones putting in, you know, place the mission of the university. It would be nice if the university would respond by respecting some of our concerns and taking according action.
Kentaro Toyama, professor of community information at the University of Michigan School of Information. Thank you so much for talking to us. We hope you have a safe fall this year.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.